This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and welcome to the one talk show in America that helps you make better money moves, the Ray Lucia program, helping you out here live on your radio and television nationwide and coast to coast. It is the show all about your money, your business, and your life. And a dude without one, Johnny Dean, is with me again. You have a great life. I'm just teasing you.
No, well, it's boring. Is what it is.
That's what makes it great.
I agree.
I don't want that much excitement in my life anymore.
I've never wanted excitement in my life.
I've had plenty of it. I'll take boring any day of the week. Anyway, well, let's see if we can not bore our audience today.
No, because this stuff's exciting. We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about.
I got stuff on the agenda here. Lynn Rowe, by the way, will be joining us, certified financial planner. Check this out. Family caregivers are getting younger on average. This just in from Genworth. Well, it's not just in, but it's something that is important for everybody to realize because, John, you may be that caregiver someday.
For a family member.
For a family member.
You never know. I would hate that job.
Likewise. I have a wicked good wife that would love to do that stuff. But, man, I want to have the money to pay somebody to do it because as I've watched my father, there is no way. Our family took care of him. You know, we kind of rotated around and he stayed in his home and then we had some people living with him for a while. And it just got so stressful. Now it's a piece of cake because he's in a facility, costs us a bunch of money, but it's the best money we've ever spent because he's got, you know, companionship. There's people there all the time.
You got professionals doing this stuff.
Dogs can come in and he can play with the puppies. And, oh, it's just fantastic. Yeah. And if he falls or whatever, they're Johnny on the spot. It's just amazing.
Oh, it's great.
Anyway, we'll talk about that. The impact of cognitive decline on your finances, on families' finances. That's certainly on the docket. But I start today with the stock market thing. January's rebound is a positive sign for stocks this year. Did you know that?
Oh, sure, they know.
Sit back, folks. Relax. It is the Ray Revolution, and the program is starting with this story. Compared to its arc December performance when the S&P lost about 9%, during that month, the S&P recouped almost all of its month prior losses, gaining about 8%. Since 1980, there have been only five other occurrences in which the S&P gained between 5 and 10% in January. Did you know that?
No.
Okay. Did you care about that?
It's interesting information. It doesn't tell me anything going forward.
No, it doesn't. But it's interesting. So here's what they said. This tended to be a positive sign for the remainder of the year. In the following February to end of December period, the index typically surged. In fact, it added on average almost 14% more, trading positively 80% of the time. So there you go. We've had a pretty nice recovery. You know, we're up, 15, 16% since the low of the market. So it's a nice recovery. But I think it says a couple of things to investors and certainly the market timers and the pundits, because how many pundits came out of the woodwork and said, oh, it's over. I mean, the party's over. It's been going on for a decade. Forget about it. Get the heck out of the market. The party's over.
And it may very well be over. We don't know. Nobody in October is going to say, boy, the markets are great. Thanks to that January we had. Let's go
all
back
I
to
know
that
is
January.
This. If the market dropped 20% tomorrow, that's a bear market. If you got out, you know, when the market was at its low, it would only be a 4% bear market to you if you stayed in, you see? And that's the point. You just don't know.
No.
So the only way to play this game is to be in the game all the time. No timeouts, no roughing the passer, none of that stuff. Just get in the market. Stay in the market, of course, stay diversified, but have a strategy that keeps you in the game. And so that's what we've been talking about in this program. As you well know, Johnny, because you were back there on the first day I started it.
A long time ago. Oh, were we young.
I don't even think you shaved at that point, did you?
I probably needed to, but no, I don't know. I know I was younger than both of my kids are now, which for me, it just blows me away.
That's frightening to me.
It's very frightening. The stock market's a long-term thing. It's a long-term proposition. It's 15 years. Even the money in your 401k, the money that is allocated to equities, even if you're 60 years old, that's money you're not going to touch till you're 75. You got to look at it like that.
This story also in the news, 401k plans boost company matching contributions due to tax reform and the tight labor market. Now, obviously, there's a huge corporate tax cut and an individual, a pass-through tax cut from that started last year, 2018. And what we're finding is many companies did the one-time bonus, and a lot of people say, well, that's just because they're buying.
Yeah, it wasn't anything big. Yeah,
it wasn't that big of a deal, but you know, a lot of people have got a nice check that they weren't expecting. But now we're finding other companies, Honeywell, Aflac, Visa, MetLife, and several others, are hiking their matching contributions. In fact, Visa went from 6% to 10%, and Aflac is matching 100% of the first 4%. Yet still there are employees, John, that are not taking advantage of getting the full company matching contribution.
You know, I've said many times, even if you're living, you know, where it's tight, but you have a 401k, put something in. You know, start with 1% or $50 or something. And then over the course of 6 months, 7 months, as you're used to that, put another percent.
But don't leave free money on the table.
At least take the match.
At least take the company matching contributions. According to Cowen, it says, another 35% of plan sponsors said they'd change their match policies this year. And nearly a quarter of those companies said they'd increase their matches. So right now, it's like the Goldilocks scenario. You've got wages going up, which for the first time in a long time, middle-class wages going up. You have the unemployment rate at full employment. Corporations flush with cash doing extremely well, mostly because of the tax policy, and earnings have been phenomenal. You'd be crazy not to get a second job. If you can't afford the 401k plan to get up to the match, you ought to do what I did. Go sell eggs for $1.25 a flat. I used to drive all the way up to Ramona,
I went
buy
to the same
flats
ranch.
Of eggs,
yeah,
and then
the
sell
thing.
Them for $1.25. I made a quarter a flat back in the day.
And that was way back in the day.
It was way back in the day. But I used to drive down the street. Did I tell you this story? I used to drive down the street with my back door open because the flats of the eggs were in the back seat and the other seat, and I could run faster, and I didn't want to have to open the door.
Yeah.
So I just drive down the street, usually on the wrong side of the street.
Well, there was an,
and I forgot the door was open.
Uh-oh.
And just before the door hit the car that was parked on the right side of the street, I slammed on the brakes.
The door flings open.
Ah, that car smelled for months and months and months.
I drove a blue van, an old milk van, to go pick those up in Ramona because I worked for a dairy at the time.
Oh, did you?
Double clutch up on the steering column.
Yeah, of course.
Trying to get up the hill on that.
That
thing.
Was a tough hill to climb.
It was a very tough hill to climb,
van.
But it was an adventure.
The point being do whatever you got to do to make enough money so that you can take advantage of these more generous matching contributions. So corporate America, as much as I know a lot of people hate them, is stepping up to the plate and giving us more money.
Well, a lot of times what they're doing is they're doing that instead of giving higher wages. You know, part of your wages is a 401k match.
Absolutely.
That's how they factor it in.
Absolutely.
So I think they figure, well, we'll give you a higher match, knowing that half the people aren't even going to participate.
Yeah, that's true. But wages are up 3.2%. You can't argue with that when they've been stagnant for 30 years. So obviously something good is happening. But unfortunately, some of the less well-read people or individuals that are just living hand-to-mouth don't have the capacity to be able to save in that 401k plan. And what I'm suggesting is, I don't know if you should drive to Ramona and get eggs and sell them like Johnny. I didn't know you were selling them, too.
I was, of course, yeah. I told you, I worked for the dairy.
I mean, I've had some pretty rotten jobs. That one. was by far the most rotten.
Well, it wasn't that. There were two dairies up in two egg farms up in Ramona. It was the closer one that I went to. There's another one closer to Julian, if you know where the area is.
But, that's the one I used to go to. It was a long drive for me.
It was a long drive.
That was probably because I was about 10 years ahead of you.
That could very well be.
That might have been the only one back then.
I don't know.
And
but they sold them in these blue flats.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a blue. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we had medium, large, and extra large.
Yes, exactly. I always got the extra large because people like the extra large eggs.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our story. We're sticking to it. It's all true. But the second worst job that I had was picking oranges. I used to go to the groves and pick oranges, and I'd get spiders all over me, and I skeeved them, and the oranges, they would pop in your hand if they were rotten. Oh, it was just a horrible job. And I got 27 cents a box.
Oh, a box.
It was a box, yeah.
Okay.
27 cents. If you were good, you could get 20 boxes in a day. We'll be back. Don't go away. Lynn Rose coming up in a bit. This song may be a little bit before your time, John Dean.
I know it well.
Yeah,
I know it well.
Great song. Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show, the one talk show you must tune into, because if you miss a tiny, tiny bit, you will miss a lot. Lynn Rowe coming up, certified financial planner, in just a bit. I've got a lot of stuff here to talk to Lynn about. Check this out, John. Three growing financial risks facing retirees 75 and older. What do you suppose the three are?
The three R's. Health care, right?
Out-of-pocket medical costs. You're one for one. Oh,
right?
Did you say cognitive decline and financial mistakes?
No, but I could see that happening. That's how they get scammed a lot.
And how about widowhood?
Widower, yes. We talked about
that
yesterday.
It's usually widow.
Usually it is.
Yeah.
Usually it is. But it could go both
ways. Well, we'll ask Lynn Rowe about that. Also, this I found very interesting. Family caregivers are getting younger on average. But people that are younger and their parents are still young, you know, if you're like you're a millennial and your parents are like 50 years old and they're all healthy, you don't think about this stuff. And nobody seems to think about it until it's too late. Well, you know, back in the day when you were a caregiver, you were already old yourself. You know, like I'm old and my dad is significantly older than me, right? And so we're taking care of him. Well, now they're talking about people much, much younger. Now more than half, it says, 58% of those that are caregivers fall between the ages of 25 and 54 with an average age of 47. So now I want you to think about this. You are a baby boomer, or you're a Gen Xer, or even a millennial, and you've got parents and you've got grandparents. They're going to need somebody to take care of them. All right? That somebody could be you or a family member, and why you wouldn't either encourage them if they have the money to take care of this, or if you've got the coinage, you take care of it for them, because it's one heck of a lot cheaper if you buy it for them when they're 55 or 60 than if you wait till they're 75 or 85, and then they probably can't qualify for it at that point.
Yeah, but getting people to actually do it is the big problem.
It is a big problem, but you remember on other hours, we've talked about ways that you can do it that are far more cost effective. Lynn Rowe specializes in that. I'll be interested to see what her take is, because I know that she listens to this show all the way in. In fact, she might even be in the green room.
Yes, the green room. Yes, the famous green room where they serve tea and crumpets once an hour.
Yeah. Then this story, I just did this morning. I'm looking at these stories and they're all popping out on ThinkAdvisor and some of the sites that I frequent. The impact of cognitive decline on families' finances. Because isn't this really all about money, folks? Isn't it really about money? Because when it comes right down to it, if somebody gets sick in your family, what are you going to do? Just walk away? No, you're going to take care of them one way or the other, and it's going to cost you. So here's what I found, and Lynn has quoted these statistics before. The survey found that among those who provide financial support to an older relative, the average monthly contribution, average, is $403 a month. 22% contribute $500 to $999 a month, and 14% contribute more than $1,000 a month. Wow.
$1,000 a month.
$1,000 a month toward their aging relative, parent, whatever it may be. And where's that money come from? Where does that money come from? You have that in your budget? How are you doing right now? You think you could swing $1,000 a month out of your budget to take care of mom or dad?
Not for 5 years.
Not for probably two years.
Not without going into debt.
Well, here's the situation. I happen to know, because I've got an inside scoop, you have a daughter getting married soon.
Yeah.
That ain't no cheap thing either. And I know you're a pretty cheap dude, but...
Oh, you don't know how cheap till we started talking about this. My tightwad hood has gotten even tighter.
I
but
know.
I've been outvoted, but all right. Yes,
well, I was just going to say that. I was outvoted too.
Yeah.
And when Jeannie and Nikki got together for one of her marriages.
I was there.
You were there. Were you there? I got the call in the studio during one of the commercial breaks. Dad, I forgot to tell you that the tent's going to cost $20,000. For a tent? For a tent.
It was a nice tent.
It was a really nice tent.
It was big. It was well lit.
Yeah, it was very well lit. They put grass on the, fake grass down and carpeting.
You had coordinated servers where they all came up at the same time and put it in. I mean, it was.
It would have been better if the marriage lasted a little bit longer than just a couple of years.
If you figure how long you divide it out, it probably only cost you about $300 a day. I don't know.
The point is this. There are going to be situations in your life, whether it's kids going to college or kids getting married or whatever, where there's going to be a need for you to cash in your savings bonds, take a 401k loan, a second trust deed on your home. You don't want to have to be in a position when you're a little bit older and closer to your own retirement and having to pull money out. And you know the worst thing? This sounds so bad. It's so bad, but I've known people that have actually said, geez, I can't wait for him to go. I can't wait for him to go. I've heard that. Oh, it just drives me nuts. But because when you, I've lost my mom, and I would give anything to have her back even for a day. But when I hear that, I go, geez, this is just so sick and so bad and so easy to solve if you get to it right away.
I could see somebody being at that point, though.
I mean,
you catch them in a moment of desperation.
Of course.
They've drained one of their 401ks or something, you know. They're now going to be fighting for their own retirement livelihood. And, you know, grandpa or dad or mom or whoever is hanging on and, you know, okay, but they have no life. They're in a, you know, nursing home somewhere. They don't know where they are. I don't know.
Part of it's counseling. You know, I've had many, many sessions, and Lynn will tell you this because, as you know, I've worked with her for 25, 30 years. And part of this is early in the game, if you get some form of insurance, whether it's life insurance or long-term care insurance, even life insurance, because a life insurance policy, if you permanentize it so that it's there on the day that the person dies, even if it's 102, if you permanentize it, and there are ways to do it still, financially speaking, reasonably so, then even if you went broke paying for care after the person did die, you'd get that money back tax-free. And Lynn will tell you that it's not ideal, but it is certainly an effective way, because that person dies. If you've spent some of those retirement funds you were talking about, this is a way for you to get that money back tax-free.
Yeah.
Make sure if they're not going to buy long-term care or you're not going to buy a long-term care policy for them, make sure they don't cash the life insurance policy in. I see this all the time. In fact, the life settlement companies, everybody don't need it anymore. You don't know you don't need it. What does Lynn say? You don't know what you don't know? Or somebody said that. Donald Rumsfeld said that. And Lynn Rose said that too.
Somebody stole it from somebody else. I'm going to get to the bottom.
I think Rumsfeld stole it from Lynn Rowe.
All right, I'm going to have to check the Wikipedia pages on that.
I know she heard all this, her comments on it when we come back. Lynn Rowe, certified financial planner, certified to bring you some pretty, pretty, pretty good information. Stick around. It's the Ray Program. And welcome back. This, of course, is the Ray Lou Cheer Show with the tiny dancer in the house, Lynn Rowe, certified financial planner. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Ray. How
great to see you in our new studios. Glad to have you on board. I suspect you heard me talking about this caregiver stuff. The reason I've taken such an interest in this is because of you, by the way, because we've talked for years and years about this, and you were instrumental in helping my wife help me with the best investment, according to her. This is a quote that I've ever made, which was to acquire a long-term care insurance policy.
Yeah.
But I thought the financial aspects of that were really, really interesting. We're talking about a certain, somewhere between, call it $500 and $1,000 a month is what people are coming out of pocket for the care. Why wouldn't they come a little bit out of pocket to get some insurance policy early on? That's the question.
Because it's never going to happen to them. It's never going to happen to their parents. It's never going to happen to their pocketbook. I mean, they're just, you know, it's like John was saying earlier, people don't want to believe it until it's too late. So my goal is to help people understand that you have to do this ahead of time. And there are ways to do this economically. There are ways to cover this need through, as Ray was saying, the kind of life insurance that if you don't ever use the long-term care, it comes back to your family. I mean, there's just all kinds of tools, but we need to sit down and look at them.
I was reading an article early this morning where they were talking about the life insurance policies are replacing a lot of the long-term care policies. In other words, people aren't selling the long-term care policies as much because today there are certain annuities and certain life policies where it's kind of a win-win instead of a win-lose. In other words, if I need the long-term care and I bought a regular traditional policy, that's a win.
Right.
Because I put up X and I got X to the nth power. But if you don't, if you get hit by a truck or something like that, you don't go into a nursing home or you don't need home health care, that's a lose. You've paid all that money. And so a lot of people are saying, I'll take my chances, as you just pointed out. But now the insurance companies and the annuity companies and the linked benefit companies and all that have come up with, I think, really attractive solutions where it's a win-win.
You know, Ray, you're absolutely right. The thing is, though, it's a tool. And that's one of the reasons I advise doing, you know, extensive long-term care planning, sitting down, looking at the resources, looking at what your goals are, and matching up the type of product that best suits your needs, because you can't fall in love with a saw and then try to go hammer nails. You've got to figure out what you can handle cash flow wise, and you have to figure out what your resources are, let's say, for the type of life insurance that you're talking about. So most
of these are regular old life insurance policies with riders, or what are they?
No, there are policies that are specifically designed with an accelerated benefit, and then there's a matching benefit, like two or three times what you put in, so that you can end up with four times the rainy day money you set aside for long-term care if you need it. But if you don't need it, and as you say, you're one of the blessed people that never sees the inside of a nursing home, then your family gets back maybe 150% of what you put in, or 200%, depending on your age and health.
So the win-win then is you put your money in, you have access to it.
Yes.
Because that, I think that's a key part
that
too. Because a lot of people think if I'm putting money into something that I can't use, So this is tantamount to a savings account. Mm-hmm. Where the interest that you earn goes to pay for insurance. But if you need the money back in a year or two or three or four, you can get it back, or almost all of it back, no questions asked.
Yeah, you can get the money back, Ray. That's one of the reasons why I always want to check to see, do you have the reserves to cover those emergencies? Because the last thing you want to do is start a program and then two years later, try to, you know, get your money back, because, you know, then you've defeated the purpose. But we look at the reserves. We make sure that you got adequate reserves to take care of emergencies. And then if you do, and this is the rainy day money that you've earmarked for that need, then let's put it to better use than parking it in the bank.
Now, I know you've worked a lot with Alzheimer's. This just in, well, it's not really just in, but it's been around for a while. The first sign of Alzheimer's disease may not be what you think.
Right.
Right. You know this already.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm preaching.
Not remembering where you put your keys does not qualify as an early sign.
Well, they did a clinical study on this. Study participants, they say, were asked to learn and navigate a maze on a computer using wallpaper patterns and various landmarks as their guides. Those with preclinical Alzheimer's found it harder to learn the locations of objects in the maze. Quote, the spatial navigation task, is that, I'm saying that right?
Spatial.
Well, that's a different kind of spatial.
It is a different kind of spatial.
I have a C in mine.
It's okay.
Okay. Navigation task used in this study to assess cognitive map skills was more sensitive at detecting preclinical Alzheimer's disease than the standard psychometric task of episodic memory.
Mm-hmm.
You want to translate that?
Well, what they're looking for is someone who's having difficulty with time, with logistics, that kind of thing, as opposed to, again, one instance where you can't remember somebody's name or, you know.
Thank you for that, because that happens to me all the time, by the way. But no, you're right.
It says, park the keys
it says
in the
here,
house.
These findings suggest that navigational tasks designed to assess a cognitive mapping strategy could represent a powerful tool for detecting the very earliest Alzheimer's disease-related changes in cognition.
Yeah.
So basically, when I kind of forget your name temporarily, and I'm thinking I'm having a, quote, senior moment, it's if I can't find my way home.
Right.
That's where the problem lies.
Yeah. That is a big problem. Or you go for walks and can't remember how to get home from your
walk. Yeah, well, that's a really, really big problem. I guess a couple times a year, we see that on the news or whatever. The helicopters are out. It happened in my neighborhood about 6 months ago. Helicopters are looking for somebody with an orange sweatshirt on or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was 88 years old and has vanished.
Yeah, those are heartbreaking moments.
They truly are. Talking about the finances, and folks, for those just tuning in, we're talking about one of the greatest risks, retirement risks, that individuals face. And since there's 10,000 of us baby boomers retiring on a daily basis, it has to affect almost everybody that's tuned into this program.
Yeah.
Because it's either going to be you or your spouse or your parent or a brother or a sister, and it's going to come down probably to you. So the question is, what do you do about it?
You know, I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who has three children, adult children, actually 14, 18, and 22. And I said, any girls? And he said, one daughter. And I said, she's the designated caregiver.
Now, why do you say that?
Because it always falls to the woman. Always.
That's kind of a sexist comment.
It's very sexist, but it is what it is. I mean, he said, she's the most nurturing. I wouldn't want my sons to be the caregiver anyway. But
So somebody has to be nurturing to give care. That would leave me out.
That's not,
I'm like the least nurturing guy you know.
That's not why she becomes the designated caregiver. The woman in the family always ends up being the designated. And I told him, I said, if they were three sons, it'd be one of the wives, because that's the way it works. You know, you're not working. You don't have, a family. You're single. You're whatever it is. I mean, there's always going to be the reason that person fits the bill. I mean, in your family, who was the caregiver?
Well, it was Tina.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
And Jeannie, which she even said, you know what? If we can't afford to put him in the memory care center, we'd take him to our house. But we have this big stairway.
Right.
That
and then
even
she
I have a hard time
caregiver.
Navigating. And she would clearly do it. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
And she's the in-law.
Yeah. And that's not uncommon.
So then let's speak to all the women out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to motivate your husband or your brother or whatever and say, listen, we've got to figure out a way to cough up the money to take care of this problem. And I think your strategy, it's not your strategy, but the strategy that you use most often is this transferring of the savings
account.
The rainy
day money, yeah.
So you've got the so-called rainy day money. It's earning nothing, 1%.
Quite pitiful.
Yeah, so if it's earning 1%, you put it in this account that earns 3 or 4%.
Which is being utilized to pay for the coverage.
And they take the 3 or 4% and they pay the coverage and you still have all your money.
Yeah.
So if you needed it, you could go borrow it out and put a down payment on a condo or whatever and pay it back.
If you get one
of
those awful phone calls from the kids, hey, we're out of work and we need money, and you look in the savings and you just had the roof fixed, There it
is. So why doesn't everybody that has financial I understand why poor people can't afford to do this, but people that have resources, why don't they do that?
Well, it gets back to the Y genes. I'm so sorry. You guys you're indestructible. You're never going to get sick, and it's not going to happen to you. And if it does, you want somebody to pull the plug. You know, that's the biggest issue.
I'm surprised you're not wearing all white.
Never happen. Never.
Lynn Rowe, I want my LTC.net. Give out your phone number real quick.
877-270-3127.
She's the best. She's the best at this. I want my LTC.net. Thank you, kiddo.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. We'll be back. Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show, helping you to make better money moves. Some pretty serious topics today, Johnny boy.
I don't know. Should we lighten it up? I feel like, we've been talking about for both hours, or we got another hour coming up in some cities.
Yes, we do.
Around the country. But yeah, we've been talking about life insurance, talking about disability, long-term care, and all that
death,
stuff.
Death, sickness, famine.
Pestilence. I think we have gotten to pestilence, too. So anyway, but it's part of planning.
We talked a little music. That was kind of fun.
That was good. We talked eggs.
Yeah. And we did talk eggs.
We talked about eggs.
Don't put all your eggs
in one
car seat.
Please don't do that. That's been the problem. As it turns out, eggs are fragile. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, so,
I learned that.
Well, we have time for emails.
All right, hit it, fellas. Let's do some emails.
There you go. Look at that. How about that? Right on cue. Okay, so James, I don't know where James is emailing from, but he's got a question here. It says, I have $200,000 in my 401k and $800,000 in my IRA.
$800,000?
I'm sorry, $80,000. Wait. How many zeros? Sorry, $80,000 in my IRA. Sorry. Should I reduce my 401k in order to afford the taxes on a Roth conversion? He wants to know about reducing his 401k contributions.
Okay. The reason I knew that is because that came on my phone.
I know. And you know what it was? I only saw it and I was scribbling down and I couldn't read what I wrote. It was supposed to look like I was taking it off your phone. I'll have to do this electronically
Them to my cell phone if they happen during the course of the show.
I know, and I saw that, and so I was trying to, I had 60 seconds to
this
copy
is James.
This down.
Okay.
It is well, James. If you can't, let me do it again?
If you weren't fooling around during the break, if you were in the studio working like me,
well,
it'd
we
be
had
different.
To refer, we had to, I know, that's the problem. All
no,
right.
no, I got it. James has got $80,000 in his IRA. He wants to know if he should reduce the amount of money that he's putting into his 401k each month
yes.
to pay for the taxes on doing Roth conversions. James, probably not. I mean, you've got a nice nest egg, if you will, $280,000. But $280,000, even if you're 15 years or 20 years away from retirement, is not going to translate into a really high income unless you're not telling me everything about your financial life. In other words, I got a pension that's going to pay me $250,000 a year or something like that. I would really be reluctant to be doing Roth conversions at the expense of my 401k. Let me do it a different way for you, okay? Let's max out the 401k. Take every penny you can put in and max out the 401k. That'll give you a nice tax benefit, probably a quarter of whatever, let's say you put $20,000 in. I'm making that number up. $20,000. What's a quarter of $20,000? $5,000. Oh, you just saved $5,000 in taxes. So that would give you the ability to do some Roth conversion using Uncle Sam's tax dollars to pay for the conversion. It's money you would have paid in tax anyway if you weren't funding the 401k. So that's the way I would do it. Just like, John, when we talk about funding a Roth IRA, taking the tax savings to fund it, well, you can take the tax savings to pay for a conversion too.
Oh, sure. We see that where you put the money into the 401k, you're saving X number of dollars in taxes. Oh, that same number I can put inside of a Roth IRA. Sometimes even funding that 401k gets you below the income limits so that you can.
Yeah,
so you
well,
can
that's
have
true.
Like a double positive
that,
thing.
That is true. So I think my simple answer is, nah, I don't like the strategy of reducing your 401k. I do like the strategy of increasing it if you can and taking your tax savings. And then if it makes sense to do a Roth conversion, fine. But you know what? It might make more sense to not do the conversion, but rather, as John just said, fund the Roth. Just fund a Roth IRA. You're still getting money tax-free. Who cares if that $80,000 grows to $300,000 later on? People worry so much about post-retirement taxation. And it's a mistake because most of us are not going to be in a higher bracket when we retire. Some will, but most will not.
Yeah, it's a good idea to at least have an eye on taxes in retirement. But let's not get so focused that...
Think about this for just a second. You have a $24,000 free ride. At retirement, it's $26,600.
When you're over 60.
Over 65, right? For husband and wife.
Yes, husband and wife.
That goes up every single year at some rate of inflation, right? So if you're 20 years away from retirement, your standard deduction is probably going to be $30,000-some-odd. Now, if tax rates on the lower end don't change that much, and they probably won't, I don't know anybody that wants to tax lower income people higher. I know a lot of people that want to take that tippy top of the 10 million plus and want to tax those people. Most of us don't have to worry about that. Let them fight that out in Congress. So the lower side of the income scale ain't going to be paying much higher in taxes. Furthermore, when you do retire, you don't pay tax on 100% of your Social Security. The most it can be is on 85% of your Social Security. If you have capital assets or cash in the bank, you don't pay tax on that. If you've got Roths, you don't pay tax on that. Or if you do pay tax on the other one, it's certainly less than ordinary income. So it's hard for me to imagine that the average American with $280,000 stashed away for retirement is going to need to worry about doing a Roth conversion now and paying taxes when they're in probably a higher bracket now than they will likely be in retirement. Sorry about the diatribe.
You got less than a minute. I don't really have time for Allie.
I do this all the time.
All right, let's do this. I heard you discussing dating and second marriages. Do you recommend a prenuptial agreement?
I need to go on and on. I don't like them at all on first marriages. On second marriages, I don't particularly like them, but I would say yes. But keep one thing in mind, as we mentioned, we mention all the time, a prenup doesn't necessarily work with 401k plans.
Federal law will usually supersede.
You will need a postnup for that, and that could be a very, very chilly evening at Allie's house. For the husband in particular.
It very well could be. I was wrong.
Are we out of time here?
I was off by a minute. I'm getting used to the...
We still have a minute?
I was off by a minute. Forgive me.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I'm working on my old clock.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. Clean it.
It's been cleaned many times. Trust me.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen to Allie's future husband, too.
Well, it's a hard thing to discuss, but sometimes you have to. Even first
marriages.
When
you both come into the marriage with assets, the answer is absolutely... You've got to have that discussion. I don't like it for first marriages because I think it gets the marriage off on the wrong foot. Call me old-fashioned, but you can also call me married for 46 years.
Yeah, yeah. But I would suggest even some people with a ton of money and somebody who doesn't
have a lot.
Well,
if you have a ton of money, but how many people in their 20s have a ton of money?
Not many. Oh, not. Are you kidding me? Unless you're an athlete.
I'm not going to touch the athlete thing
because I've done that before.
It wasn't fun.
No.
Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Now go out and make it a great day. God bless. Bye.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions online at raylucia.com.